Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank the Lord for allowing us to gather and gather again once again.
Amen.
I believe the Lord won't mind me sharing this with you. August 21st, 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up. Said, get up, get out of bed, get your Bible, get pen and paper, and listen. And he began to share with me this particular message. Not easy, not convenient. I want to give a definition of each of these words. First one, easy. Achieved without great effort, presenting few difficulties. The definition for convenient is fitting in well with a person's needs, activities, and plans. As we preach this message, I want you to consider these definitions. And the first scripture the Lord gave me was in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you are here today and you are a Christian, you chose the narrow way. If you are not a Christian, you chose the broad way. Now, Jesus said, which road leads to which location? Now, we as Christians sometimes consider the way that we end, and it seems like we're surprised that it's not easy or convenient. I didn't realize I was going to have to deal with this and that and the other. But it's part of the path. You could take a new driver, put them out here on this 6-lane highway, and they could drive around and cross all the lanes and probably wouldn't hit nothing. I mean, if it was empty. I doubt if it's ever empty, but hypothetically, the road is empty. And they could be all over the place and not hit nothing. But you take that same driver and you stick them out here on one of these narrow 2-lane roads, there's a high likelihood they're going to run into something. Yes. We have to be careful when we're on this road.
Amen.
There are things on this road that's going to come up that you and I got to pay attention to. That's why it's not popular to go on this road. Most people in life, they want their life to be comfortable. I want everything that my heart's desire is. I want everything to go my way. But when you get on this narrow road, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be times when you have all kind of happiness and joy, and it seems like you're going along real good. And then there's some things going to come up. And we're going to have to deal with them. You know, the devil, does he spend most of his time on that broad road? Or does he show up in the narrow road? Does the devil not bother you? because he sure bothers me.
Amen.
It's not easy, not convenient. The Lord gave me a couple of scriptures at the end of his discourse with me. Don't let me forget to give them to you, because it's a couple of secrets. Now I want to turn to a particular passage of scripture. I want us to consider, I'm not going to get into all the truth of some of these scriptures that I read, but there's a train of thought that the Lord gave unto me that we need to focus on. Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. Matthew 11 and 6. It says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me."
Amen.
And the majority of this message that the Lord gave unto me, he was talking about how easy it is for people to get offended and turn out of the narrow way. What this verse really means is, happy is he who will not stumble at me, and he who will not humble himself won't enter. When you and I are on this narrow way, we're going to find some places that are not going to be easy or convenient. They are going to go against what we feel inside. And what you and I have to come to the place of, that I've got to come to a place where I can exercise some self-denial.
Yes.
That I can be comfortable being part of just the few.
Yes.
Do you notice how the world is? Big event going on. A whole lot of people want to go. The who's going to be there. I can't miss it. But I don't never see no lines at church. You go to the fair, what are you going to do? Stand in line. You go to the amusement park, what are you going to do? Stand in line. You go to the football and the basketball games, what are you going to do? Stand in line. Because there's a whole lot of people there. You never have to stand in line at church. And if I can be so bold to say, you never have to stand in line to come to the altar either.
Amen.
Why is that? We're talking about the narrow way. Where did it say it would lead me? It's going to lead me to life everlasting. And when God brings something that touches my heart, I would love to see a line at the altar. That's going to do you the best good of your life. Because it's going to help you take care of the things that God is looking at. Now let's turn to John, the 6th chapter. There's a situation going on here in these passages of scripture that you and I want you to look at the actions that take place. John, the 6th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 53rd verse. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth up this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now I'm going to pause right there for a minute. Because you have to understand, these people were living at the time when Jesus was walking the earth. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. So in their minds, they're looking at, here's Jesus, King of the Jews, has come to the earth. When is he going to set up his kingdom? When can we be a part of his kingdom? And then Jesus started talking about his flesh and blood. And there was a disconnect in their mind. They failed to understand that Jesus was not talking about literally. He was talking about what would take place if he gave his flesh and blood on the cross for you and I. It would restore a connection with God that once was. And you and I could enjoy a oneness and a unity with God because Christ has given his flesh and blood. And in part of that, we would have to accept the hardships that come with it. But look at what happened. When the disciples knew in himself, or when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmur, he said, he said unto them, does this offend you? How easy it is for people to get offended. And this is the warning we have to take. This was the first generation dealing with Jesus. But you can look down through the annals of time and you can see different ones that become offended at the word of God and walked away. What and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak to you, unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This preconceived notion that you think I'm going to set up a kingdom down here in this earth, a physical kingdom, is not so. What I'm going to give to you is a spiritual kingdom that cannot be touched by any man or anything. Then he said, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him unto him of my Father. Now, this is what struck me. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, as I began to think about this, I said, I'm assuming that these people are relatively intelligent. And what I learned in school is, if you didn't understand a concept, you raise your hand and you ask some questions. Right. Why didn't they say, Jesus, what do you mean? Right. It just went over my head. I don't understand what you mean. But you see, there was something deep down in their heart that they did not have a full commitment. What causes a person just to walk away? Who was standing there right in front of them? It was the Son of God. The only one that could help any of us. He was standing there right before them and they could ask him all kinds of questions to get an understanding. The scripture says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. God brings something in your path and he wants you to deal with it. Get an understanding of what he wants to do. Don't just walk away from it. And we see so many walk away so easy. And you know what they do? To go look for a substitute. Let me find something that's just going to appease my conscience. But I fail to deal with what God really wants to get over to me. And as you read about these people turning away, I wonder if they ever came back. You ever wonder that? Even after Christ had died on the cross, arose, went to heaven, did they ever come back? and follow him. Do you think the devil made it easy for them to come back? If some of them did. I imagine he challenged them every step of the way. But I believe there were some that never came back. You and I have to consider that God already knows where our stumble is. Don't matter where you are on that narrow road, whether it's at the beginning or whether it's at the end, he knows where the stumble is. And he's working with us trying to take care of that issue. God is able to look deep down in our heart and see the places that trigger actions that are contrary to what he wants. You know that place in the scripture where it talks about the seed was sown, some fell on stones and thorns? There was something that caused it not to grow. These people walked away because they were offended. How easy it is for people to get offended. Who's the source of our path to heaven? Jesus Christ, right? The only way we can get there. Can't go no other way. Look at all these religions. They promise this. They promise that. But none of them promise eternal life. That's only through Jesus Christ. So when they turned away, where were they going? You know, you got that wayward child that you always have to hold their hand because they have a tendency to just take off and go wherever they want. Where are you going? Get over here and hold my hand. They don't know the dangers out there. Do you know we as Christians, sometimes we do that. God's got us holding our hand and we walking along and we want to turn loose and go chase something. And the Lord says, where are you going? Keep your hand in mine. Jesus said offenses would come. And we have to be watchful and prayerful because we do not know where those stumbling places are. They crop up and they show up in actions. And then you deal with people like that. What were you thinking? Oh, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I just did it. And we have to consider this. Another example that I want to consider, another place of offense, Matthew, the 15th chapter. This one, you look at this interaction in this situation. There are some people with some closed minds in here, in these passages. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Pay attention to that. Yes. I can be so set in my mind in the way that I think that I'm not paying attention to what God's commands are for me. Amen. You hear people that say, God and me got an understanding. He knows me. Yeah, he does know you, but you're not interested in what he has to say. Right. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites. Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips. But here's the problem. Their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And it goes on to say, Jesus is talking about them, and the disciples observe that they got offended. And again, I ask the question, why didn't they ask Jesus? Well, what do I need to change, Jesus? If I'm holding to this idea in my mind and it doesn't align with God's commandments, give me some understanding so I can make a change. But they didn't. All they could do was find fault. How easy do we see people that are offended finding fault with the Word of God? You know what Jesus said about them? He said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. So we have to be aware. Only God knows what's in our heart that we can take offense to something in the Word of God. Do you know there's places in the Word of God that's going to cause you to either get on your knees and beg God to give you understanding and take every root of whatever's in there that's not like Him out, or you will leave. The times in which we live, it's not easy or convenient to be a Christian. There are so many principalities and things that are coming against the church in general, trying to destroy and root up everything that the Bible stands for. If we got some traditions we hold to, we need to measure those traditions by the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. And if I find this tradition that I've held for generations does not line up with the Word of God, then there needs to be a change. Lord, root out this tradition out of my mind. Allow your Spirit to renew my mind. Give me a fresh understanding of your Word of God that I might be able to keep going. Amen. Look at one other example. Matthew 15. 15 verses 22 through 28. I want to read those. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not in a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now we see a scenario here. This woman is sincerely seeking Christ for some help. Amen. But you see what Jesus told his disciples? Yep. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. My purpose right now is to reach the Israelites. But this woman had a need, didn't she? Yes. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, if somebody calls you a dog, does that offend you? The average person gets called a dog. There's going to be some happenings. You are not going to disrespect me like this. But you see, this is in the scriptures. Jesus actually did this. But I want you to look at her actions. And she said, "Truth, Lord. Lord, I may be considered a dog in your perspective. No, I know." In so many words, "I know you haven't come for me. You've come to the Israelites. But I am in need right now." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." That tells us she was committed to getting her answer from God. It wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. They're trying to push her away. She said, "Truth, Lord, just give me some crumbs then. I'll accept some crumbs. I know it's not my time yet, but please give me some crumbs. My daughter needs help." Then Jesus answered, said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And as I was reading this scripture, I got to thinking, why didn't Jesus just heal her daughter in the first place? It would have been so much easier. But Jesus said this for a reason. He understands how easily people get offended. And he also understands to what degree people will go to get help from him. And you and I have to be like this woman sometimes. We got something going on and it don't seem like God is hearing us. We need to plead for it. I'm not going to let you out of my sight until I get my blessing. Just like Jacob did. Jacob knew he had issues in his heart and mind, and he had to meet his brother Esau. And he wrestled with that man all night. "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." That's what it's going to take. It's not easy or convenient. As we mentioned the other night, how many times Elijah had to pray before he saw evidence that the rain was coming? 7 times, back and forth. This woman needed this. And she did not get offended because Jesus said she was a dog. That didn't matter to me. You know, when it comes to us compared to Jesus, we nothing. We just needy creatures. We don't know what this path that God has put us on entails. And we're going to come to some places that if we don't have some spiritually thick skin, we're going to get offended. When God begins to touch places in our lives that he wants us to measure up, "I need you to do better here in this area of your life," and we've been skimping along, it's time to do business. But so many just get offended and run away. "Well, let me find a place that's a little more conducive to what I believe." "Well, I don't quite believe it the way you do." There's only one way to believe it. And you and I have to have the Holy Spirit to teach it to us. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's going to come along and he's going to work with us a little at a time. And he wants us to get an understanding. And eventually you and I can embrace it and take a hold to it and let it prosper and bloom in our life. Too many people have gone this way and lived exactly like the Bible. And they made it. And then we have people that come along and say, "I can't live that." No, you can't live that. It's going to require something from God. Yes. You know, David ran into a place like that. Psalms, the 94th chapter. He had some difficulties in life, did he not? We have record of his life. He was very transparent in his life. He told us about his victories and his failures. And I wanted to read this scripture here. 94 verse 7 and 8, 17 and 18. "Unless the Lord had been my help, My soul had almost dwelt in silence when I said my foot slipped. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. What did all these people miss out on? The Pharisees, the scribes, the disciples that was following Jesus and turned away. Were they not interested? Or were they there just for the fishes and the loaves? And all the blessings that Jesus is blessing him. I'm going to go see if I can get a blessing. It wasn't easy or convenient for the woman that had an issue of blood to press through the crowd and reach Jesus. She didn't even ask him, will you heal me? She said, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole. It's not going to be easy or convenient. Too many people are falling to offenses. God is looking at us. We might be doing well long in life, get to age 40 or 50, and God sees a stumbling place. And he starts to work with us. He starts to deal with us. He starts to talk to us. This place that you are approaching is a dangerous place. And you need to get with me so we can work through it. I want to look at a song, song number 137. When I was growing up, this song was sung often. You hear the older saints call it. And I'm going to let you know something about me. When I was saved, early saved, and they called this song, you see this first verse? I would rest. Amen. I didn't sing this verse. I do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of ease. Amen. Then I jump in on the next section of the verse. I only pray that Christ may guide across the stormy seas. And I'd be looking at them people, and some of them got their hand raised. I do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of ease. Do you know that God had to get me to that place where I could sing that? I don't mind that I have a little struggle. I don't mind that I have a little difficulty because I want to go to heaven. Then the second verse. You notice in this song, there's what I don't pray for and then what I do pray for. So young in my experience, I always sang the second parts. But these first parts, that's my resting time during song service. I do not pray that flowers may bloom along my pilgrim way. I only ask that Christ may guide my footsteps, lest I stray. It's easy for people to stray. You could have a victory one week, and the next week the devil come in and go to town on you, and you start straying. Well, that was too much. I'm tired now. I'm just get over here on the sideline and sit down and wait a little bit. The devil knows who's charging ahead, and he gonna challenge you. But you have to have it made up in your mind, no matter the challenge, I'm going to go through. If thou will lead me by the hand, guide my trembling feet. For thee, O Christ, I'll gladly drink the bitter with the sweet. What though my life be peace or pain, 'twill only soon be. How long is this life? It goes by so fast. I can remember the day my children were born, and now they're almost grown. Life has gone by so fast. I want to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. Yes, there's going to be some places. There's some places along this narrow way that you have to carefully step one foot in front of the other. Otherwise, you might slide off the road. You get up in the mountains with the Lord, there's some tricky places to walk. And you and I are going to have to be real careful in those places. When I lived in California, there was a lake that I would go to fishing. And there were areas on the lake that everybody fished. A whole lot of competition right there. So I happened to note, I'm sitting there one day and I'm looking, I got to find a better place to fish. And I look up on the side of the hill, and about 30 feet above the water, there was a little trail. And I said, I'm going to try that trail. So I got all this baggage. You know, I got this tackle box, that tackle box, a bucket, my rods. And I go working myself up along that path. And I hit a spot where there's a 4-foot gap that you have to cross. There's no climbing around it. You have to go across. And I got all this stuff. So the first time I made it across, and I got back on the back side of the mountain, and it was one of the best fishing spots I ever found. Nobody went back there. It was a drop off, drop down in the deep water. I didn't even have to cast out far. Caught a lot of fish. And then one time I was going back there with all that gear. Got to that spot and I slipped. Stuck my stuff over on the side and my poles hooked a branch and my feet went out from under me. And you know what came to my mind? I'm carrying too much. I need to lighten my load. If I'm going to come back here, I need to come back here with very little so that I can make it. You know that it's like that in our life sometimes. We get to places in the Lord, we got a lot of baggage. And we're not going to make it. The path is too narrow. Places where God is working with trimming off this, trimming off that. So you got too much here, you got too much there. Some of that needs to be trimmed off. Amen. I need you to be light-footed where you can go all up through them narrow places. It wasn't long that other people found that I was going back there and they start coming back there too. But I look at it this way. You and I are Christians on this pathway, and if you and I are just going along and kind of easing, who's going to be persuaded to follow us? Who was the first? Some of you school children, help me out. Who was the first explorer that went around the world or went to other places in ships? I know Columbus is one of them, but who's the other one? Which one was the one that crossed the entire world? All right, get your phone out. Let me know who it is. The Lord just brought this to my mind. I want to make a point about it. Was it Ferdinand? Magellan? Yes. No one traveled the world till those two men went. If we're not willing to take the not easy and not convenient road, how many people are going to be convinced to come the same way? I had that fishing spot to myself for about 3 weeks. And then people figured out, oh, if he can get back there, I can get back there. Listen, let me tell you, people are watching you and I, and they want to say, oh, they can get there, I can get there too. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. But you and I can get a hold of something that will inspire those that come behind us. All right, now, two secrets. I'm sure everybody knows this verse. Just go ahead and recite it. Matthew 11 and 30. What does it say? I can't hear you. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Now, consider this. These are the words of Jesus. Now, I told you it's not easy, not convenient. When you are trying to make your own yoke and latch it onto Jesus, it's never going to be easy. But when you take, say that again, Brother Henry, his yoke. That means I got to empty out this component up here and accept Jesus. What did the Apostle Paul say? I count it all as dung. Everything I've ever did, everything I've ever attained to, I count it all as dung, that I might win Christ. And that's what it means about taking his yoke. You want it to be easy? Take his yoke. Because he's going to give you everything you need. His yoke fits just right. Too many people want to make their own way to heaven. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to yoke up with Jesus Christ. You're going to have to empty out of your mind and of yourself to allow him to work with you to get through this life. Because the devil ain't let none of us run into heaven scot-free. Amen. So that's one secret. You take his yoke. That means I let my will go, Lord. And whatever you say goes, you'll find it to be easy. And then turn to Proverbs 4 and 18. You and I are working our way up this road. And this is something else that we can look to. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, there are a few people in here that have been alive a while. And if you allow me, if you're over 65, raise your hands. Now, I can ask you, is the past shining brighter each and every day now? Amen. Listen, adults and children, there's your testimonies. They're down the road a long ways. They are close to the goal. And if you and I can understand what they can see that it's shining brighter. They've got victory. They can tell you what God can do for you. And it don't have to be hard. It don't have to be inconvenient. You don't have to be ashamed. This world wants Christians to be ashamed of where they stand. But we got examples among us. That's why God leaves some of them here so long. They pretty much ready to go, but God says, I want you to stay a little longer because I want you to show the younger ones coming on that they can make it. Amen. We on the path together. Yes. You know, there are occasions when I'm at home. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and there's not a lot of saints around there. But there are occasions when the Lord will speak to my mind, pray for so-and-so. They in a battle. Whenever the Lord does that with you, he wants you to support your brother or sister in their time of battle. They might be at a place of stumbling, might be a place they're going to turn away and not follow him no more. You know, one day I might need you to pray for me. You see all these, some of these saints that are real sick and suffering? Can't hardly function. They need the most prayer. Because some of them, their minds are starting to go. And they need that support. God wants to see them make it in. He's going to take them in. But you and I have to understand we're on this road and I can't expect it to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. There's going to be some things I got to set aside. I don't need to take all this tackle. What am I fishing for? Well, I'm only fishing for this species. Well, then let me pack a little box that only's got everything I need for that one species so I can make it over that narrow path. That's what you and I have to look at. God, when he's dealing with us, it's not just random. It's not, well, I want to make their life hard. It's not that. He sees a place where you and I can stumble. And Jesus said, blessed is he that's not offended at me. Amen. You and I must consider where we are along the pathway of life. If we are living this Christian life thinking it's going to be easy or convenient, then we need to ask the Lord to help us. Help me, Lord, that I can endure some things. That I can have some difficulty in life. That I can have people maybe not even favor me. You and I, you might be by yourself sometimes. There's going to be moments of isolation. But you got God there with you. That's all you need. The byproducts of going this way. There's some disappointments. There's some difficulty. There's some pain, and there's some isolation at times. And what is it going to cost us? We're going to be part of the few. It ain't going to be standing room only. And we are going to have to deny ourselves. Too many people trying to go through this Christian walk with things in themselves that are going to have to be denied. That's a part of the path. That's a part of the way. And when you get to heaven, it will be worth everything that you have laid down. It will be well worth it.